again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from an unfortunately rainy season in Vancouver, but the sun is trying to shine through at the moment, probably because of the guests that I have on today's podcast. I'm quite looking forward to the opportunity to speak with Marion Cornett, who's a PhD in the Monash Center for Scholarship in Health Education, and Bernie Ward, who is on faculty in the School of Rural Health in the medical program, also at Monash University. And I've called them today because I was looking forward to the opportunity to discuss a paper they have coming out in the February 2021 issue entitled A Realist Review of Scholarly Experiences in Medical Education. Bernie, maybe I'll start with you, if you don't mind, just in terms of curiosity as to why this became a project. The scholar role has obviously become a big part of competency-based medical education, but what was it made you wonder or worry about the way in which scholarly experiences were being developed?
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having us come along to talk about this really important topic. At Monash University, the medical faculty had decided to switch to a Doctor of Medicine program. And so, like many universities delivering medical curriculum, we were interested to know, how do you structure these? What difference do a range of factors make in terms of what works and what outcomes do we get across the world? And we know that there's a range of models. We looked at programs in the US, in Europe, and across several other countries to see how they'd structured their programs, but there's such variability. So using an evidence-based approach, of course, we wanted to evaluate what we were doing. So the obvious starting point was to see, you know, across all those different settings and programs, what sort of outcomes did you get according to what models you implemented, and what are the things that might have altered those outcomes?
And just make sure I understand the local context a little bit more. Were you developing this program from scratch, or is this an evolution of something that had been going on previously?
Students at Monash University are part of the program in Australia, but we also deliver the program in Malaysia. So the switch to a Doctor of Medicine meant changing our curriculum, not just do units in evidence-based practice, or not just rely on students taking time out to do an honours research project or a PhD, but actually embedding it in the curriculum. So there were several changes we had to make to move to an MD. And so having a dedicated scholarly project time within students' final year was part of that.
Marion, the title gives away the methodology that was used, a realist review of scholarly experiences. For the sake of those who maybe are not as familiar with that terminology, can you describe that for us and maybe give some thoughts as to why you thought it to be the right review methodology?
It seems that in the 90s, English researchers Pawson and Tilley saw that there was a need to taking a less positivist view of evaluating programs and simply looking at what worked or didn't work, and really to be able to unpack why things worked and in what context and for whom. So I think this is sort of the key feature of realism, is that it's an explanatory process. It's a way of looking at what are the mechanics behind what's going on so that we know why something's working or not. So I think in this case, it was really important for us, with all these disparate programs around the world, what were the features of these programs that, you know, enabled them to work? Because they were so, so different. There was programs that went for a whole year, some that went for 2 weeks, some that went for multiple weeks over multiple years. How were we going to find out what were the essence of these programs that make them work? So that's why we took that approach.
And given that breadth of approach and heterogeneity that you knew existed, it's obviously not possible to just Google mechanisms of scholarly experiences or outcomes or contexts. How does one reassure themselves that they're finding the right literature when trying to delve a bit more deeply into the mechanisms as you described?
So we took a very broad brush to our search, and we did it in a systematic way, as you would with other literature reviews. We had over 4,000 papers. We looked at anything that included reference to scholarly experiences, to research and so on in medical degrees. And we made our focus quite specific. We wanted to look at people in undergraduate medical degrees, where they would become a doctor at the end of it and so on. And so we had 4,000 or so journal articles that we went through and looked at to see whether they were talking about the sorts of things that we were interested in. And we ended up with 28 papers, which described 22 different medical programs that did talk about outcomes, and it did talk about the program in detail. And then we had to go through and start looking at the sorts of information that we're after. And realist review or evaluation is theory-driven. So we had to come up with an idea, sort of a program theory, something that these programs might be sort of using as their reason to why these things might work. And this program theory was quite tricky to develop. And we came up with a systematic review that had been done slightly earlier, where they had come up with a logic model, where they had talked about how scholarly outputs and interest in research seemed to come about when research programs had time, money, facilities, equipment, technology, and so on for students, and enable them to develop some skills and so on. So we sort of started off with this theory of why these programs might work, and we went through and we started to look at these 28 papers and try and pull out all of these things which we described as outcomes, which we described as context, and which we thought might be mechanisms. And then with a lot of working between all of us, we workshopped these and we came up with ideas that we thought might be what was going on, these unseeable things that were going on underneath that might be making these programs work. And so these became our mechanisms.
Just before we get into those three categories, so the results more specifically to the key contexts, mechanisms, or outcomes, one of the things I see quite routinely in papers like this is that it can be surprisingly challenging even just to decide on what are the boundaries around the phenomenon that you're trying to explore. It can be surprisingly difficult even to come up with a good definition to rule in the right things and rule out the other things that are less relevant. Did that become an issue here, or how did you decide what counted as a scholarly experience as opposed to something that might be confused with that?
As long as something was compulsory, so rather than have something that a student volunteered to do, if something was compulsory, it was more than just coursework, so more than just some research methods coursework, there had to be some sort of experience that the student actively took part in, and that might be, you know, a research project, it might be an audit, it might be a community health project. We took a very broad brush to that. So we did have quite a range of different scholarly experiences. Some of them went for 2 weeks. Some of them, as I said, went for a whole year. But as long as they were compulsory and everyone was bound to do them, and as long as it was more than just coursework, we took that as scholarly experience.
I think, you know, many health professionals do some sort of scholarly work in their undergraduate or their graduate entry degrees that lead to some sort of registration. But there's a lot of things about medicine that make it rather unique as to why these sorts of projects or some sort of scholarly project is important. In many countries across the world, students getting a publication or participating in these types of activities can often be a lever for them to get into postgraduate specialty training. So we really wanted to refine it so that we just looked at medicine because of those sort of variables and factors that might make differentiate this discipline from other health professionals.
That makes a lot of sense, and it's getting me to think about the distinction between completing an assignment that's handed to you or writing a quiz versus getting involved in something that actually takes on some of the characteristics of what we would more generally think of as scholarship in a field like ours. It's just got me wondering about what you saw in the key contexts that you think to be crucially important for enabling students to reach that level of actually doing an experience that you would consider to be scholarly, as opposed to going through the motions simply to get something on their CVs that might make them more competitive in some of the outcomes that they're pursuing.
Yeah, I think the mechanisms are important, but what's really interesting is that most of the literature in this space that applies to medical education is focused on those outcomes. So the things that we typically think are drivers for CVs, networks that might contribute to some of the things that undergraduates are looking for, such as postgraduate specialisation entry. So it's really difficult for us. You know, one of the challenging things was to actually think about, well, what are the outcomes that we as educators think are important? But for this discipline, what are the things that we can see? And it's really quite different because in terms of curriculum in medical education, we often talk about the development of new knowledge, the use of evidence-based practice. We don't just prioritise on things that are publications, you know, things that typically help you get into postgraduate training. So I think that was a real challenge for us in terms of what can we see and then work backwards to say, well, how did they get there and get to those mechanisms? I think the other real challenge for us was that we know that medical curriculum programs operate across such diverse contexts, and some of those are really rich in their research culture. For some settings, that's still developing. So depending on those settings, the value of these sorts of programs might vary, and so too in terms of what the students take on, because we know that in many countries, medical education is often very experiential and like an apprenticeship model, whereby what they see in the workplace really affects their learning. And so that was really important in terms of what some of the mechanisms became evident in these programs.
And that makes me think about the fact that you've identified an organizational research culture as a key context, as you just alluded to, and part of the mechanism being a student's growing appreciation of the value of research. It's perhaps not surprising, but interesting nonetheless, that so many of the experiences you identified were about research as opposed to a broader form of scholarship of innovation or scholarship of application. Were there any insights that you gained from what you found that might help others to think about how they can encourage students to think about scholarship broadly?
So the other thing that's often unique to medicine is the very close relationship that medical faculties have with health services and hospitals. Mm-hmm. And so that partnership is really important. The medical students, certainly at Monash University, spend a lot of time in health services during their degree. And so ensuring that that partnership is one that's built on valuing curiosity, innovation, is really important, and that that may not just be limited to what we typically think about in terms of research outcomes, publications, or conference presentations. So I think that's important, and that obviously then leads to how do we support clinicians to supervise these projects where students can see there's direct application between having scholarly skills and evidence-based practice and the translation of knowledge into practice, where we know there is a massive time lag in how that happens.
Yeah, interesting. And Marian, let me come back to you for a second. I know you're coming to this work as a dietitian. Bernie outlined some compelling arguments as to why the focus of this paper was on medicine, but thinking about a different profession which maybe doesn't have as rich a history or as deliberate a focus on creating scholarly experiences, maybe creates a bit of an opportunity to say, what would I do if I were trying to create something from scratch that would satisfy some of these outcomes that's been reported in this paper? Have you any advice for people at different schools or in different professions who are looking to create a program?
I think it was interesting, and as Bernie said, one of the things that shone through with this that hadn't been picked up before in other research was how important that not just a well-established research culture, but that research is respected by the organisation and seen as value. And another part of that was that what the student was doing was valuable and seen as contributing not only to their own education and experience, but to the broader profession. And I think that idea of really having the opportunity to be involved in research and really allow the students to see the value of that research. And it's not just in their outputs and in their knowledge, but it's in all other sorts of skills and relationship building and teamwork and all of these things. It's such a great way of giving students that broader range of skills that they'll be able to take out into the world. And they become great critical thinkers and better critical thinkers because of it.
Bernie, maybe I'll just ask you a parallel question from the perspective of someone who's working in a medical program where there has been a bit more of this sort of activity. As a way of wrapping up our conversation for today, how has this effort changed your thinking in terms of enabling students to have successful scholarly experiences in medicine?
You know, it's really important for us to remember there's no right or wrong way to do it. There's a whole range of different models that will work in different settings. What we want to do is give students a rich experience which increases their skills, but also work with our partner services to ensure that we embed a culture of this inquiry and that scholarly work complements and is really important to being a good clinician, both in terms of understanding scholarly work, implementing it, and creating new knowledge that arises out of scholarly work that is not just research, but is actually something that we can use it in practice, research or other, and in terms of evaluating our practice. And we want that message to come through to both our students and our partner health services that this is an ongoing thing of lifelong learning in any health profession.
Well, congratulations in that regard, because you're clearly living that advice at a meta level. I think this paper creates a model that presumably contributes to the research culture that appears to be critical to enabling students to see its value and to take on some of these activities. I wish you best of luck in your continuation of moving these sorts of experiences into your expanding medical program, and we'll look forward very much to seeing what other work comes out of this topic.
Thanks, Kevin. We are certainly extending the work by evaluating the program that we're implementing, both in terms of research and other scholarly outputs. So thanks for your interest.
No, it's easy to give. For those of you who are listening who do have interest and want more of the details that we didn't have an opportunity to get to today, again, just a reminder that you'll find the paper titled A Realist Review of Scholarly Experiences in Medical Education in the February 2021 issue of Medical Education. The most recent voice that you heard other than mine was Bernie Ward, who's a senior author on this work. And the other guest today was Marion Cornett, who was instrumental to its completion as well. Thank you both again for taking the time to talk, and we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you, Kevin.